we can be joyful in our trials, not for the trial. The trial is painful and it's hard. But we can be joyful because we know God is going to take that trial and he's going to use it to make us mature Christians. All right, what was the next one? It's temptations. How do we respond when we're tempted? And so James deals with that. And then what was the third one? Obedience to God's word. What? How you respond? Are you just a hearer of God's word, or are you a doer of God's word? And James says, don't be just a hearer. That doesn't profit you anything. Be a doer of God's word. Glad y'all are here. And then what about the fourth one?
Favoritism.
We're not to show favoritism. And remember in James, the rich man came in and you said, oh, please sit here. And the poor man came in and you treated him like dirt. And James said, "That you can't do that. Because everybody at the cross is level ground." And then what was the last one we talked about? We talked about what? Good works versus evil works. And so if you are truly born again, your life will manifest good works. Now today we're going to be talking about, oh my goodness, you wouldn't have come if you'd have known this. We're going to be talking about our tongue, ladies. And it's going to be another test of living faith. Let's see, I need a few more handouts. Now, I'm going to say something. If you're truly born again, if you're the real deal, it will affect your mouth. It will affect your speech. Now, I'm going to tell you something about your heart. I mean, about your tongue. Your tongue is a tattletale. Your tongue tells on you. It tells on your heart. Now, this is what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, look. What's inside of you comes out. And it comes out with your tongue. James is concerned about the tongue. In fact, James mentions the tongue in every chapter. For example, twice in chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 26. He mentions it one time in verse 12 of chapter 2. Then when we get into chapter 4, verse 11, and in chapter 5, verse 12. And he's going to hit it really, really hard this morning in chapter 3. So here's the point. Living faith shows itself in the control of the tongue. Come on in, Jessica. Good morning. Do we have another handout? Come over here, sit by Brittany. One more, right there. Now, I read this. I don't know if it's true because I haven't actually counted. But someone studied this, and they said that we speak on the average every day about 18 to 25,000 words a day. That's a lot of words. That's one-fifth of your life you spend talking, is what they said. So, let's look at this portion in James 3. And I want to show you out of James 3, five reasons now why it's so important to control your tongue. And here's the first one. The tongue has tremendous potential to bring judgment. Now, he's going to give us an example. He's going to use teachers as an example, okay? Now, let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. He says this, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Now, true faith is going to transform your tongue. And if speech is the mark of true faith, then it just makes sense that teachers have to be very, very careful with what they say. Now, remember in chapter 1 we saw that remember we were talking about the Word of God and it said be quick to hear it, but be slow to speak it. In other words, don't rush into a teaching position. Because why? Well, we see right here in chapter 3, teachers are going to be judged a stricter judgment. Wow. And when you sin with your tongue in private, that's one thing. But if you're standing before a whole group and you're teaching, the potential for condemnation is greater. So he's stating a basic principle here. Let not many people be teachers. It's a weighty thing to speak for God and to share his word. Now, I just love teaching. I love it. But I want to tell you, I spend a lot of time studying. I really do. I've told you before, I'm nothing but a nerd. I never have had an original thought. I just read and study, and I bring to you what I've read and studied and not the liked and I thought was good. But I don't ever want to stand up and say, this is what I think, and influence you. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about things that are controversial. I just want us to talk about God's Word. And when I come in on Sunday school, I want to be so careful just to say to you, this is what God's Word says. And then I have to be careful. Because in my lifestyle, I want my lifestyle to tell you I live what God's Word says. I want to be careful. Now, the one who does the teaching carries a greater responsibility, and it's a very serious issue because the teacher has tremendous accountability to God. But now we can also go, and it's in Matthew, where we find out that we will give account for every idle word. Ladies, that is a very weighty thing to think about, the way we let our tongues wag. That we'll give an account before God for every word. Now, Paul got saved, and Paul was a Pharisee. That meant he knew the Bible of his day, the Torah, backwards and forwards, and he just was a very religious person. But you know, God had to take him away to Arabia, and he stayed there, and the Lord himself trained Paul. And then Paul comes back to Jerusalem ready to do the ministry that God is calling to begin the ministry. Now notice verse 2 there. It says, we all stumble in many ways. And that is in the present tense. And that means you're always stumbling. Now can you relate to that? Oh my goodness. Yes. And where is one of the biggest, easiest ways to stumble is with our mouth. With our mouth. So in our mouth lies the greatest potential to condemn us. Now, really, if you think about it, the easiest way to sin is to sin with your words. Because you know what? All you have to do is open your mouth and speak. There are a lot of other ways you can sin, but you have to take action to do that. You have to get up and move and plan, but you don't have to with your mouth. You can be sitting anywhere. Just open up your mouth and let it flow. There are no restraints. Now, you can't just do that with every other sin. Now, here's the second point I want you to put down. The tongue has tremendous power to control. To control. If you don't learn to control your mouth, it will control you. And he says here in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Now, if you don't stumble, then what are you? A, look at verse 2. What did it say? If you don't stumble, what are you? You're a perfect man. The one who can control their mouth is a perfect person. And the only people who don't sin with their mouths are perfect people. Now, what does he mean here, perfect people? Well, there are two ideas. I'm going to give you both of them. Number one unless you're perfect like God is perfect, perfect like Christ is perfect. And so if that were the case, in that sense, no one is perfect. And so you can just forget the idea that you might not stumble, because no one qualifies for that. This is a better translation that I like, that I think is the meaning of the word, and a better understanding of the word perfect. And we saw it in chapter 1. You'll be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And the word perfect really means maturity. Maturity. Now, I think what he's saying here in a general sense is that if a man does not continue to stumble with his mouth or his words, it means that that person is a spiritually mature person. That person has come to spiritual maturity. If you get control of your tongue, you're demonstrating spiritual maturity, and that's on your handout. Now, I like that view the best, because spiritual people are able to control their tongues. They're able to bridle also their whole body, it says. Now, this is a very neat, practical thought. Here, James' conclusion is this. If you can control your tongue, it's the member of your body that sins the quickest and the easiest. And if you can learn to control it, it's the greatest sinner in your body of all your members. Then by virtue of controlling the greater, which is the tongue, then you have gained control over the lesser, which is the rest of your body. The person who can control their tongue will also be able to control the body with all of his other impulses. Now, I just want to say very practically, in the area of dieting, do you need self-control? I mean, I do. And if you don't have self-control over your body, check your tongue. Check your tongue. I think this is a neat spiritual insight. That says to me, if I want to focus my Christian life on one thing to bring my spiritual life into control, I ought to concentrate on my mouth and on my words and on my speech. I just think it's so practical. Because if the Holy Spirit can bring my mouth under control, because it's the most potent member of my body, it's the member that sins the easiest, if I can let the Holy Spirit really control my speech, then the rest will be conquered as well. Now, isn't that a neat spiritual insight? Now, to help us understand this, James is going to give us two illustrations. The first one is a horse, the bit of a horse. Let's look at it. Go with me to verse 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Now, you know, have you, any of y'all ever ridden horses? When I was in fifth grade, I had this love for horses. But I was always scared to ride them because they're so big. And you get on that horse, and you know, you think, I'm just a little person. That horse can really do what he wants to with me. But with that bit in his mouth, you totally control that horse. He's a powerful animal. But yet, that one little thing controls the horse. Now, here's the second illustration. It's the rudder of a ship. And look with me at verse 4. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Now, have any of y'all ever been on a cruise? Y'all, cruises are so much fun. Emily, think about that for your honeymoon. They are so much fun. You get on this big, big ship. It's like a resort in the water. And there are just thousands of people and thousands of crew members. And you're just on this ship. And you know, you go to sleep and in the morning you wake up and that ship would have been brought right to port. I mean, right up to the dock. If I was driving that ship, I would take that dock out. But the pilot has such skill controlling a tiny little part of that ship, which is the rudder. And he can maneuver that ship right up next to the dock. It's absolutely amazing. Now, your tongue is a very small member. But when it's under the control of the Holy Spirit, it's like a bit in a horse's mouth, and it's like a rudder of a great ship. It's controlling a whole big thing. Do you see the illustration? They're such good illustrations. Control it. Don't let it control you. And I just wrote this down. Speak only gracious words, loving words, true words, thoughtful words, holy words, sensitive words, edifying words, gentle words, comforting words, unselfish words, peaceful words, words of blessing, words of humility, words of wisdom, words of thanksgiving. And if you'll do that, you'll control every other part of your life. Now, how serious? No, he sums it up in verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. So, also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Now, what does that mean, that it boasts of great things? It means your tongue is a big, fat braggart. It likes to boast. And it's so proud of its power to control, and it can really control you. It's a very powerful, tiny little instrument. It can tear people down. It can tear a church down. It can destroy relationships. It can absolutely destroy a marriage. It can devastate a family. It can rip up a whole nation. It can lead to murder. It can lead to war. But on the other hand, it can build up. It can create love. It can create enthusiasm. It can create encouragement and comfort and peace and joy. And what we need to do as Christian women is seek God on a daily basis, starting each day with a conscious desire to let the Spirit of God control our tongues. Listen to this verse out of Colossians 3. If I've put on the new man, then I should put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from my mouth, and never lie to anyone, and lay aside all the old self with its evil practices. You see, I'm a new creature in Christ. And there's no place for that in my life now. And if I'm truly born again, it's going to come out through my mouth, because my mouth is a tattletale on what's going on in my heart. All right, here's the third reason. Because it can control. Now, let's see. Because of its power to control, the tongue is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Look at the second half of verse 5. It says this: behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. Wow. What a cool analogy. You know what? You can take one cigarette and throw it out your window and burn thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of timber with that one spark. And fire has this amazing ability to multiply. It's not like water. If I pour out a cup of water, it doesn't turn into a flood. But one spark can turn into a forest fire and bring about tremendous damage. It's very, very dangerous. And then look at the rest of verse 6, because it is just an amazing statement. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. Wow. And sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now that is a strong statement. It's an overwhelming statement about the power of your tongue. Look at that first statement there in 6 that I read. It's set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. That's a strange thing to say about a tongue. But the tongue is an unrighteous, I just like this statement, an unrighteous, hostile, rebelling order within our humanness. No other bodily part has such far-reaching potential for disaster as our tongue. And in and of itself, it is a work that breeds evil. A network that breeds evil. And then he goes on to say it defiles our whole body. The tongue stains everything in our body. I remember when we had our house fire a few years ago. And really, we only had two rooms that burned, but you wouldn't believe how my whole house had the worst smoke damage that you've ever seen in your life. And that's what the tongue does. It stains everything. It affects your whole person. And then it says there that it's on fire, the whole course of nature. And a better translation there, it's setting on fire, and I like this, the circle of life. In other words, it touches the whole machinery of your life. Your words do. It not only stains you, but it's going to touch everybody in your world. Your mouth affects everybody in your world. Now, isn't that true? And then he goes on to say that it's set on fire by hell. And in other words, he's saying Satan is behind it all. You know, people know you by how you talk. The tongue reaches beyond your mouth and it stains your whole body, and it reaches beyond your body to affect everybody who's in your circle of influence. What a description of the danger of our tongue. No wonder James is so concerned about teaching us about the importance of having a redeemed tongue. A tongue that wants to bring honor to God. Now here's the fourth thought. The tongue is humanly, and I put that in quotations now, humanly speaking, the tongue is untamable. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. It says this, "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Now, one time I was at SeaWorld in San Diego, and I was sitting up in the audience, and this man came up and said, "Would you like to be in our show?" I said, "Sure." Out of all those people, he picked me. I don't know why. So I said, I had no idea what they were going to get me to do. But I went down, and he said, "Now all I want you to do is stand right here and hold your hands up just like this." And so I stood right by the water, held my hands up just like this. And Shamu, the killer whale, came right up and kissed me. It is amazing what they taught that whale to do. They're tameable. You've heard of circuses where the man sticks his head in the lion's mouth. But James is saying, you can tame every wild beast, but not your tongue. Humanly speaking, you can't tame the tongue. He doesn't say it can't be tamed. He says men can't tame it. Who can tame the tongue? Only God. Only God can by his power. That's why new birth is so critical. You get born again, and it affects every area of your life. And it's going to affect your tongue. But your tongue is like a wild, savage animal. It's ready to break out of its cave. It fights restraint. It's an evil poison. And here's our last thought. The tongue is a hypocrite. The tongue is a hypocrite. Let's read 9 through 12. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh." He's going to let nature teach us what is obvious about our tongue. You can't have a sweet and a bitter fountain at the same time, coming out of the same opening. And you can't have olives on a fig tree. You know what? Miss Carolyn wasn't here today, and we didn't get our... Tell them I'm sorry. We didn't even get our thing. We were bad. Sorry. That's the first time I've thought about it, because Carolyn always gets it for me. Where is Carolyn this morning? I'm missing her. She's usually here. She didn't tell me she wanted to be here. You can't have olives on a fig tree. You can't have figs on a grapevine. And no fountain can spout up both salt water and fresh water at the same time. And what is he saying? He's saying a clean heart, a heart that's truly been changed, cannot produce bitter, evil, poison words. And he's right back where he started. True believers will be revealed in their speech. And it's a truism in life that if you have been transformed by Christ, your speech will show it. And that's just what James is saying. That's the test. Teresa, am I really born again? Well, that's another test we can take. You can, thank you. I'll just bring it when I come. Tammy, would you do that for me? Right. Thank you. You can look at your mouth. Listen to yourself talk. What are your words telling you about your heart? And so the true believer is known by his words. A true believer speaks with a tongue that is under control. Now, I just want to say personally, I think this is the hardest thing. Our tongues are so dangerous, are they not? I just so want to be one who speaks gracious, loving, true words, putting a guard over my mouth. But isn't it true that your mouth just wants to speak out those things? It's so hard, and only the Spirit can tame it. Only the Spirit can tame it. Now, I want to close with a verse out of Ephesians 4, so turn there. Turn back from James to Ephesians, and I want us to close and think about this verse, because I want to share something about this verse. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. And I've got to find it because I wrote it down, but I'm not exactly sure. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder I can't find it.
Probably 30.
Okay, good. Thank you. 30 and 31. Yeah, go to 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And I'm not sure. I'm looking for the verse that says, let no corrupt communication.
29.
Oh, good. Thank you. 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. What a word for us this morning. But only such a word as is good for edification. Now, that word edification, underlined it. It means to build up. To build up. Only a word as is good for building up according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now think with me. Just think with me in your everyday normal course of life when you're around people. Don't you just love to be around someone who builds up with their words? Don't you? It is so nourishing. It is so encouraging. And when you've messed up or made a mistake and someone comes along with a lot of grace and they just build you up and it just blesses your life. And I think this is a good watchword for us. And I love that verse. And I heard this taught one time and they said, now make this your goal and a rule. Speak only that which edifies. Write it down. Only that which edifies. Now you remember what I said about edifies? It means to build up. Only that which edifies. Sometimes I'll be talking and I'll hear the Spirit say to me, only that which edifies. And I'll say, dang, I didn't say that. You know, it just steps on my toes. Only that which edifies. Speak it in your heart. Lord, today, may I speak only that which edifies. You know, a lot of people think, well, as long as it's true. As long as it's true. Well, it's the truth. Have you heard anybody say that? Da-da-da-da-da. Well, it's true. Did you know that? It's the truth. I've got a Bible. I don't know where it is. I'll have to find it. But the Living Bible says it this way. Only a fool blurts out everything he knows. Only a fool blurts out everything he knows. Don't let that be your rule. Well, if it's true, I can say it. No, no, no. Only that which edifies. Is what I'm thinking and going to say build up? Is it going to build up the hearers? Is it going to show that I am truly born again? Only that which edifies. And so James gives us the test. He says, look at your speech. Check out your mouth. Is it telling bad things about your heart? Make sure you're really born again. May it be known, may it be made plain to others around us that we are Christians. And may they know it by what we say. By what we say. I love this lesson. I love this book. It is so very, very practical, isn't it? Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the very practical lesson that's been ours this morning. And we can agree with James. Our tongues are a restless evil. Our tongues don't want to be tamed. They want to say whatever they want to say. And it is true. It's just such a little small member of our body. But my goodness, what power it has to destroy. And I've been the victim of bad words, and so have you. And Father, it's our heart's desire that we would speak words that edify, that give grace to meet the needs of the moment. May that be our watchword, only that which edifies. And may this coming week, as we're walking in our daily lives, may you confirm to us that we really are your children, because the Holy Spirit is controlling our tongue. And then it's such a neat thought to think that if you're controlling our tongue, we're master over the rest of our body. Help us, Father, not to forget what we're hearing in Sunday school. Father, bless our class. I thank you for the new ones you're bringing, Father, to our class to study your word. And Father, we would lift up our sister Angela. Bless her, Father. Minister and fill her with your comfort and a peace that only comes from knowing you. Father, I pray for Candy. I pray that you bless her and just open up doors for her. Make a way for her to find a place for her and her three precious boys. Father, we pray for Dickerson Place. God, would you use us to minister to those children at Dickerson Place. We lift up Casa de Fe. What a privilege to be a part of supporting them. Father, there's so many needs. We lift up Susan this morning, Susan Diamond, as she is recuperating. Bless her, God. And Father, may we be women who, as we walk and speak in our world, others hear us, and we bring grace to the table with our words. Make us to be a blessing. Fill us with your spirit. And we just tell you, God, if you don't do it in us, it won't happen, because we don't have the power to control our own tongues. It's just not humanly possible. But God, through Christ, you give us control. You give us power. It's a daily choice. May we choose every day, God, to walk and bring blessing to others through our words. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that little saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Don't you believe it? Words have such power to hurt me.